inspiration, God. I ask you to do this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. I want to bring out 6 points, and I'll name those points, because I'm going to be dealing with the verse where it says, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And it's actually the title of my message this morning, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So 6 points I want to make. Number one, the promise of prosperity. Number two, praying for prosperity. Number three, the perplexity of prosperity. The presumption of prosperity, or the presuppositions of prosperity. The problem with prosperity and the proper attitude toward prosperity. So there you go, all P's. I don't know how that happened, but it did. So a little bit about the context. So wisdom is crying out and has been crying out to the simple ones, the scorners, and the fools. And yet they did not hearken unto them, and there's consequences for it. And so I want to talk about basically this morning some of the consequences and the reason for those consequences. One of those being highlighted in my text, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. There's going to come a day after God calls out, or wisdom calls out, the people to repent, and they repented not and did not heed to the call, that God himself is going to laugh at the day of their calamity. And that's pretty scary.
Yeah.
You ought to think about that. So just a little bit about a few words. What is it to be prosperous? To say that a man is prosperous, we used to say he's well-to-do. He's well-off. He's very prosperous. You have financial success or good fortune. You're flourishing. You're successful. To have prosperity is to say you're fortunate, successful. I already mentioned that. You're thriving. You're doing well. You got the idea. And so the Bible says that those that do well are those that are prospering. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And let's look at the points that I previously mentioned. The promise of prosperity. I don't know how you can read your Bible if you read it from the beginning to the end and not see that God has promised prosperity to those that hear his word.
Amen.
And we'll just read a few of those verses. We'll go through the Bible very quickly. Follow with me, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 9. The Lord says, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. Now, isn't that the goal of everyone here? We want to prosper in everything we do. I mean, when you buy a lottery ticket, and I hope you don't buy a lottery ticket, but if you do buy a lottery ticket, isn't the idea you want to win? I mean, you don't buy the ticket in order to lose, right? When you go to work, you want to have success. You want to be promoted. You want to move up the chain. You want to get a raise. You're looking for prosperity. You're looking to be successful. And I want to say that all of us, in one sense or another, are very successful. We're a very prosperous people. In our day, they talk about privilege. I know I want to tell you about a privilege you have. Just being an American makes you privileged.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what color your hair is or how much hair you have. You're, as an American, you're a privileged people.
Amen.
Yeah. You live, and you've known all the people that lived here, no matter how old they are, know nothing but prosperity.
Right.
God, in his great wisdom and his generosity, he has prospered the American people. Yeah, we are prosperous. It's amazing how people today, in their attitudes, they can have a two-car garage with 3 cars in the driveway and consider themselves poor.
Yeah. That's right. Come on.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And I have been, you know, in various parts of the world. It is amazing how people always want to look at how rich the other guy is and how poor they are.
Yeah.
And you're in Mexico, they say the Americans are rich. You're in Ukraine, they say the Poles are rich. If you're in Poland, they say the Germans are rich. And you're in Germany, they say the Brits are rich. And you're in Britain, I don't know what they say, but the idea is the other guy's rich and you're the poor man. We have political parties talking about the poor man, and yet all those guys are rich. My dad used to say, and you're going to notice his political party, he says, you don't want to vote for the Republicans. They're all rich people. as if the Democrats weren't rich themselves. Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." It looks to me like God is saying, obey my word, take heed to my counsels, and you'll prosper. Amen. Looks that way to me. We all know the first Psalm, Psalm chapter 1, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth the fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." How's that for a promise?
Amen.
It's like having the golden finger or the green thumb, whatever you do. You know, you plant a garden and you get fruit. Not everybody that plants a garden gets fruit, but some people have a green thumb. They just have the ability. I get around a plant and just wilt. Yeah. Janice is almost afraid to leave at any time during the day because I'll be around her plants all day and she'll come back and they're all dead. She said, "What'd you do?" "I don't know. I just saw some bugs and I sprayed Raid on it." Didn't kill the bugs, but it sure did kill the plant. But isn't that your desire? Isn't that the desire of all of us? We want to prosper. We want to be healthy. We want to raise. We want to make more money. We want to have enough to buy what we want to buy. And it looks like if you read the Bible, if you do the will of God, you'll prosper. And certainly there is a theology that, at least since the early 1900s, that has been preached that if you'll obey God, God's intent for your life is that you might prosper. And you would certainly get that idea by reading the Bible from the beginning to the end. You certainly could come across that idea. Job in chapter 36 and verse 11. I think this is Elihu, I don't remember exactly. "If they obey and serve him," talking about God, "they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword and they shall die without knowledge." So again, these are just a few of the verses I picked out showing that giving heed to God brings prosperity, or God at least promised prosperity to those that obey him. I hope you can reach that same conclusion. Psalm chapter 1, chapter 118 and verse 25, we find the psalmist praying for prosperity. "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." And if you've been around here on a Wednesday night where we gather around to pray and seek God, you're going to find people are praying for prosperity. Brother Lindell's sick. Sister so-and-so sick. They're not doing well. They need prayer. What do we want them? We want them to be well. Yeah? So-and-so doesn't have a job. We want him to have a job. I haven't heard a prayer yet that isn't somehow linked up with the idea that we might prosper in our endeavors. When we go out on the evangelism during the week or on a Saturday, first Saturday of the month, we want to prosper. We want to see souls saved because of it. When we stand up here and sing and preach and gather together, we want the Word of God to prosper. And the Word of God will prosper. It's the promise of God. I think that's over in Isaiah chapter 55. So prosperity is a desired goal. Psalm 122, 6 and 7, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces." It seems to me the psalmists were praying that God would prosper his people. Isn't that your prayer? I, like I said, I haven't heard anybody pray yet, "Oh God, take away our prosperity." Oh God, I've been too healthy for too long. Let me be ill. Lord, my car is working too well. Let it break down. Lord, my job's going too well. May I lose it tomorrow. I don't hear people praying that away.
Right.
At least not for themselves. Now I've heard it prayed for, you know, their neighbor or their enemies. All the way over in the third epistle of John in chapter 1 in verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospereth. There it is. Here's the apostle himself praying and beseeching that they might prosper. Now there is a clue there, a little bit of insight that you can prosper physically. And you can prosper spiritually. You might want to write that down, remember that clue there, because a man could be very poor and still be prosperous. A man could sit in the bottom of a jail cell after getting beating unrighteously and be prosperous. And recognize his own prosperity and be able to sing to God and thank God for the situation he found himself in. Because there is another type of prosperity that maybe perhaps fools don't realize. And it says the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So let's look at the perplexity of prosperity. There is some confusion about prosperity. Jeremiah said in chapter 12 and verse 1, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? And you're going to start seeing this again as you read the Bible, that the prophets of old and the people of God of old, the elect of God, when they saw the prosperity of the wicked, it confused them. And they asked the question in their prayer, wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? What's going on? What's going on with these wicked? I thought prosperity came upon the righteous for those that heeded the words of God and obeyed the commandments of God. What are these wicked people getting prospered for? Are you getting the picture? Psalm 73, I'm going to read quite a few verses. Please bear with me. It does say it's a psalm of Asaph. Not sure of this guy, but this is a psalm. In verse 1, Psalm 73, verse 1, truly God is good to Israel.
Amen.
I think we could say that God is good to America.
Amen.
Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Now why is that? For I was envious of the foolish. Of all the people to be envious of, why would you be envious of the foolish? For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. It's perplexing. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than the heart could wish. How about that? How would that be if you had more than your heart could wish? They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, this people returned their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, this people returned hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, how doth God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. What is the psalmist saying? He's saying, look, I've been obeying God. I've been heeding his commands. Well, I've cleansed myself. I've separated myself. I've sacrificed. And yet here these wicked men, they're prospering. I don't understand. Why did I go through the trouble if these wicked men can prosper without going through the trouble? Hello, America.
Amen.
Why go to work if I can get a free paycheck from Uncle Sam? Why do I get up at 6 in the morning and head off and wait an hour in traffic to go to work? And why do I have to put up with my boss and tolerate his indifference to my great job that I'm doing? Why do I have to do that when they get a check that's bigger than mine and they're not doing anything? Hello?
Yep.
Now maybe we understand envying the foolish. But if we continue reading, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors as a dream when one awaketh. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Now, there is a certain point when you look at the prosperity of the wicked and you think, man, I am wasting my life. I could have stayed home and watched the football game. Why did I waste my mornings opening the Bible and reading the Bible? I could have been watching TV. I could have been doing what the wicked are doing every day of their lives. I could have forgotten God. I could have walked as I pleased. I could have had all more than my heart could desire. I could have had all the riches of the world. And why did I have to sacrifice until you understand their end? That's what the psalmist said. It looked like I'm wasting my time, my efforts in trying to serve God. It looks like God's blessing the wicked just as he's blessing the righteous. So why be righteous? Why don't you just live and let live? Just do as you please. Until. And therefore the perplexity of the of prosperity. Jeremiah in chapter 5, we see the same refrain in verse 21. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, and have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree? That it cannot pass it, and though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men, that they lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat, they shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall not I visit for these things, say the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? What is Jeremiah saying? What is God saying in the book of Jeremiah? He's saying, look, these wicked people this wicked people of mine are such rebels and rebellious against the counsels of God, against the will of God, yet they seem to be prospering, right? That's what it's saying. They're prospering, but the day's coming when God's going to awake. And their judgment will be sure. And so that's very perplexing for people that know not God. It's very perplexing for those that do know God to see the prosperity of the wicked or the prosperity of fools. And the author of the proverb said, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them, because prosperity can be deceptive. It can be confusing. It's confusing partially because those that are not spiritual do not think of the eternal. They're only thinking about the temporary, the moment. They're living for the now. They're not worried about tomorrow. They're only worried about getting what they can get, and they'll do it by any means. Because prosperity is their goal, and it's not the will of God. And even amongst the spiritual, they forget that they're supposed to be spiritual and think about the prosperity of their soul more than the prosperity of their body, because their body's going to die and be eaten of worms.
Yeah, amen.
And they need to think about the eternal thing. So the prosperity of fools, it is perplexing. And there are presuppositions about prosperity. We can see this more so in the New Testament, and we'll head there. 1 Timothy in chapter 6, Paul writes, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but it would be good to read the chapter. I'll pick it up in verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. There's a thought. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Do you know how many people in the world live just for food and raiment then? That's all they have. No two-car garage. You know what is distinct in America? One of the distinctions, there's a lot of distinctions. I should say American people. The amount of closets we have in our homes. You go to other nations, they don't have closets in their homes. The reason they don't have closets in their home, they have all that junk to put in there and hide in there. But we Americans, we have so much junk. Do you realize I walked into our walk-in closet?
Oh, no.
We have a walk-in closet in our home that was bigger. The closet itself was bigger than two of our bathrooms in Poland. Combined. And I walked in that closet this morning, and I looked, I said, look at all them shirts. I got enough shirts that I could wear a different one every day of the month. Janice wouldn't have to do laundry for a month. I could just keep on piling them up and piling them up, and I could just wear another shirt. And I pulled over my sock drawer, and I looked, I said, look at all them socks. Man, I have more socks. Look, I got some weird socks. Look at there. Look at all them socks. And then I looked on the floor and I thought, look at all them shoes. And I hadn't even got to Janice's side yet. What if we took a visit to your closet? It is amazing that Americans have 2-3-car garages, but they can't park a single car in it. Isn't that amazing? And yet, every one of us think we're poor. Don't we? We're barely making it. Supposing that gain is godliness. Now, I mentioned the prosperity theology or the prosperity gospel. The idea that if you follow God and trust God and believe God, that you're going to be rich. And then you're going to have wealth beyond measure. And as I mentioned earlier, as you read the Old Testament, as you go through the Old Testament, it certainly looks that way. And you can understand how some people could be deceived by that. But I believe it was Jimmy Baker who certainly preached the prosperity gospel, if you remember him. He ended up in jail for fraud. And the judge was very vindictive. The attorney was very vindictive. And they sent him away for a long time. And he was on a Larry King Live interview. And Larry asked him about it. He said, you know, Larry, in prison, you have a lot of time to read the Bible.
Amen.
He says, and I read the Bible in prison. Because Larry had asked him, what about all this wealth that you've had? And he says, you know, Larry, I used to preach that doctrine. I used to think, and he quoted this, one of these verses here, 3 John, about being prosperous. He says, but you know, before you ever get to 3 John, there's a lot of verses in the Bible talking about not trusting riches.
Yep.
Made me think that maybe old Jimmy Baker was saved. Because it sure did look like the light went on in his head.
Yep.
But there are those that think that because they are prospering, that that's proof of their godliness.
Yeah.
They've got a big church, it's full, everything's going well, they're healthy, wealthy and wise, everything's going well, there it is, I'm holy. That's the proof. Well, that's not how God judges things. Because rain falls on the wicked and it falls on the righteous as well.
Amen.
Luke in chapter 13, the classic example in verse 1, there were present at that season some that told him of, I'm sorry, not Luke, my apologies. I want to jump down to, let's pause here and back up. I will continue this thought and we'll come back to the second thought. So there are those that suppose that gain is godliness. They have presuppositions about the meaning of prosperity. They make wrong judgments about the state of their prosperity. They look at a prosperous man, and they make false assumptions about him. Or they look at their own prosperity, or lack thereof, and make false presumptions. And so when the Lord began calling out his disciples, we ran across this problem. Look in Luke chapter 13 now, in verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or of those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What is the prevailing thought? A calamity happens to someone is proof that they are the greater sinner. There is certainly a doctrine that is prevalent today that says, if you are ill, that's proof that you sinned. Well, that's a strange doctrine, because shouldn't we all be ill then because all have sinned? Let's carry it a little bit further. John in chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You see the prevailing thought? Certainly this man is not prospering. This man must have sinned somehow, or his parents must have sinned that he was born blind. Which is it, Lord? And Jesus said, in a rebuke to the prevailing thought and that false doctrine of the prosperity gospel, Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Have you ever thought about it, that your calamity or your difficulties or your illness or loss of job or breakdown of your car or whatever, or the loss of your home, that might be for the glory of God?
Amen.
It might be to teach you something. The disciples saw a blind man and they falsely assumed there must have been sin in the camp. He's in the hospital because of his sin. He's ill because of his sin. He lost his job because he sinned. Because the thought was, if you obey God, you'll prosper. And then the opposite must be true. If you don't obey God, you won't prosper. And when you're not prospering, that must be proof that you're sinning. How many of us have entertained such thoughts?
Amen.
We may have not articulated it. We have not, may have not mentioned it, but we certainly thought it. This is a problem. It is a problem with prosperity. The psalmist said, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. When things are going well, we forget about the tragedies that happened previously.
Amen.
When things are going well, we forget how much work it took us to get there. And we have a generation of young people that want to jump from zero to a million in one leap. They're the evil Knievels of the world. They want to jump great chasms without ever having to work. They didn't realize that their parents got to where they got through hard work and sacrifice. But now our generation is, I want it all now. Give it to me. And once we get there, we think it's proof that God has blessed us. The problems with prosperity. Now look in Luke chapter 12. Verse 13. And one of his company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Hello, that's a big clue.
Yes.
And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow all my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Do you remember that verse in the third epistle of John where he says, Even as my soul prospereth. You see, my friends, if you forget about the prosperity of your soul and you just look at the prosperity of your body or the prosperity of visible things and you forget about the prosperity of the spiritual, woe be to you. Laying up treasures and forgetting about the state of your soul is foolishness.
Amen.
And the writer of the Proverbs, the preacher, says the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So everything is going well. What do I need God for? I got money in the bank. I got a job. I'm pretty healthy. My kids are okay. Everything is going well. I don't need God. And that's a big mistake.
Amen.
And many people make it. So we must conclude, what is the proper attitude toward prosperity? Well, the preacher also said, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. You know, you ought to consider some things. God allows prosperity and God allows calamity.
Right.
So you ought to think about God.
Amen.
Don't get so preoccupied with your prosperity and consider the day of your calamity. And thank God there's more than this life.
Yeah, amen.
In Job it says, he is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who hath hardened himself against him, talking about God, and hath prospered? In Proverbs 30 and verse 8 it says, remove, here's some wisdom. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Now there's a prayer. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. How about that? Job, listen to his wisdom. Job was a very prosperous man. Would you agree? And then he met calamity. And the entire book of Job is talking about this very thing, at least his friends, his alleged friends, his supposed friends, are talking to Job and telling him, you must have sinned against God. This calamity, these evils would not have come upon you had you not been in some way rebellious. Fess up, Job. Tell us what you did. That's the general idea here. You must have did something wrong. And Job, guarding the integrity of his heart, is saying, no, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, why are you suffering then? And basically saying, I don't know why. But listen to what Job says. Naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave. And everybody says, amen. The Lord gave. And the Lord hath taken away. And then it's silent night. You see, the Lord that gives is the Lord that takes away. The conclusion, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Jesus said it this way, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. We ought to consider the eternal prosperity of our souls more than the physical prosperity of our bodies or our physical things. And there is a great temptation in the nation that we live in, because everywhere we look is prosperity. I know there is a tendency to think the other guy is prosperous and you're still trying, but you're just not comparing yourself correctly. Just, what, an hour and a half south, maybe 2 hours south of us, is real poverty. Compare yourself all the way south, and you're a prosperous people. Yeah. Compare yourself to all of humanity up until this generation, and you are a prosperous people. And the question we must ask this morning is, are you prosperous in the eyes of God? Yeah. Because we do greatly err in thinking that because we are wealthy and everything's well, we are well to do and everything's going well and we're winning at everything, that somehow that is the proof of the blessings of God. That may not be true. And it's the things that destroyed the fools, because they thought that way. They thought that because they prospered, they must be in the right zone. This must be it. I'm okay. I don't need God. Why go to church? Why read the Bible? Why pray? Look, I'm prospering. And that's what destroyed them. And God said in that Proverbs, that first chapter of Proverbs, in that day when their calamity comes and their destruction comes swiftly, God is going to laugh. That's a sobering thought. People laugh and mock God and the people of God. Well, God is going to have his day of vengeance when he's going to laugh.
Amen.
You traded 60 years of prosperity for eternity in hell? You traded a house and a two-car garage and a big closet for eternity in hell. You traded a good job where you got up every morning and laboriously served 8 hours, 10 hours a day, 5 days a week, 6 days a week, every day of the month, every month of the year, every year of your life. You traded that for eternity in hell. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Let me close with a thought from, again, from the Proverbs. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. It seems to me from this lesson and from what I've gathered from the scriptures that we ought to be careful about how we assess what prosperity is and what it means. It could very well mean that you are right smack dead in the will of God and God himself is blessing you. That's very possible. But it could be that all your prosperity is a foolish illusion. It's just deceiving you. The point being is you ought not to put trust in your riches or your prosperity, but you ought to put trust in a living God.
Amen.
And your focus ought not to be on the how prosperous are you as far as physical things, but how you stand before an almighty God.
Amen.
And if you can get a hold of that, then you can sing in a cellar of a prison. Then, when afflictions greet you, you can say as Job, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
You can't do that when all your trust is in your riches. And the point being, brethren, is that we are in a precarious position. Because all of us here are prosperous. We are some of the wealthiest people in the history of mankind.
That's right.
I was invited to speak at the elementary school on Veterans Day, because I am a veteran. And in that little speech that I wrote up, both in English and Spanish, it said, America is the greatest nation in the history of mankind. And I thought for sure I was going to get some, yeah, amen or something. And I got, I could hear it like breath leaving the room. God has blessed America.
Yes.
With the gospel.
Yes.
Don't falsely presume that because we are a rich nation that that is the blessings of God.
Right.
Our riches is in the freedom that we have to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Our riches are in the fact that we can meet here this morning without persecution.
Yeah.
These are true blessings of God.
Amen.
And if we really want to prosper with God, we'll reconcile with him through the blood of his son.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for all your true blessings. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the opportunity to meet freely and preach the gospel. Oh God, we thank you for the salvation of our souls and the deliverance from hell and the wrath to come. Oh God, for these things we are grateful. We want to exalt you. Lord, help us to have wisdom to discern the difference between true prosperity and false prosperity. Oh God, help us not to be so foolish to allow the prosperity of fools to destroy us. Have mercy upon us now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
May God richly bless you. Have a great day.